The Story Begins by Maureen Marsh.
I awoke at 6 a.m. as usual. No alarm clock. I was already comprehensively alarmed. Padding out of my bedroom, I passed the sleeping figure, a light snore emitting from the brown corduroy sofa with makeshift bedding of polyester fake fur coat and pink diamante cushions. I sneaked past into the kitchen and popped the dented blue kettle on, making a mental note to do the washing up from yesterday's scrambled eggs. I fished around for a couple of mugs that didn't have obvious cracks, dents or ingrained stains on. Watching the kettle burst into loud action, I recalled the events of the previous evening when the snoring entity had shown up at my doorstep. The buzzer was insistent, ringing several times. I was not inclined to answer the door, knowing that the neighbourhood consisted of a variety of unsavoury characters up to unsavoury things. I recalled last year how my neighbour Elena, fresh from the Ukraine with her mental health problems, got descended upon by a group of unscrupulous fentanyl addicts who slowly but surely moved in, and the ensuing chaos and drama. Against my better judgment, however, and almost at the insistence of some deeper inner voice, I answered the door, and there he was. At first I was a little confused and my mind started flicking through the files of my memory bank, amygdala springing into action. But then he smiled, that unmistakable smile that seemed to emanate from another world, an angelic, kinder, less mortal place. "Jamie!" I gasped. He laughed. "You remember me?" "Of course!" And then we hugged in nervous but rapturous embrace, the spell somewhat broken by the smell of his sweat and somewhat emaciated and fragile frame within my embrace. "What brings you here?" "It's a story. If you have time, can I come in?" I let him in the front door and my eyes took in his slimmer frame and older, thinner face. He seemed nervous, which automatically made me nervous. I was catapulted into the reality of his strangeness. I went to open the door to my flat and turned, only half joking. "You're not a serial killer, are you?" He laughed. "Yes, do you mind if I murder you and devour your entrails?" We both laughed, and yet, still with concern, I let him in. A million questions popped like bubbles to the surface of my mind, because 20 years is a long time, because we were no longer 20-something students discovering life. We were veterans, warriors, bitten and spat out by the vicissitudes of life's capricious whims. We were surely wounded and battle-worn soldiers. As I let him in, he whispered breathlessly, "It's really good to see you." The evening progressed and the rumbling of stomachs pervaded the air. I ambitiously suggested food. I only had 3 eggs and half a loaf, but most wonderfully had been given a bottle of wine as a birthday present, and this oiled the wheels of reconnection. I noted the marriage ring. "You're married?" "Was." "Ah." I didn't venture down that grown-up path. I just lived with a very sad man with no social skills for 10 years, and then realised the sad man with no social skills was probably autistic. I moved on to better things. "What's that then?" "Working in Sainsbury's and living in a shithole." "Oh, well done. I'm a call centre operative, which it means I get to bully little old ladies into spending too much of their pensions on charities that actually only give a minuscule of the charity income to the actual cause. So you see, I get to spend a great deal of my working life feeling like a cunt." We laughed, and a brightness came into the air, a joyful remembrance of a gorgeous dish tasted again. "You were going to be a world-famous journalist." That's right. And you were going to be happily married with a dozen kids living off the grid. We did good, kid. As the wine bottle emptied and the confessional continued, he suddenly paused, gazed into my eyes and said, I don't think I ever really felt love after us. I said nothing. The story, the real story, began to sneak its way into the present moment, into the sadness, into the loneliness, into the joy of remembering hopeful beginnings. It's late. He reached out, gently touched my hand, not too late. Pulling my hand away, I responded, if you want to stay, I don't have any proper bedding. So what was the real story? A couple of star-crossed lovers? A couple of low-achieving losers? A couple of strangers pretending there was significance in a long-ago romance because the present circumstances have so thoroughly kicked them both in the metaphorical balls? As I contemplated the possibilities, I heard him walk into the kitchen. I felt his arms wrap around my waist, and I turned to see that angelic smile. The story was beginning again, familiar and unfamiliar, strange and not strange. The story was beginning again, and the silent prayer was sent out, and the answer came back, and the answer was home.